So we're still beating on the snake. Killing of Agasura. Killing of the demon Agasura. Text number 38 is on the board. Na. We already read that yesterday. So read text 39.
Yeah, 39.
What's that?
39.
Sakrit yaranga pratimantara ahita. No, no, no. Prajapati Guru. I read that yesterday. Yeah, but I'm not going to read that. Yeah, but I was. Now, yesterday it was Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was on the day before. On Saturday we read that. Sakrid yaranga pratimantara hita manomano manomayi bhagavatim dadogatim saeva nityatma sukhanubhutya bi vyudastamayom tar Gatohi kim punaha. If even only once or even by force one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation? Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. Please repeat, if even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation? Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss
for all living entities,
and by whom all illusion is completely removed. Purport. The process of receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of God has described here. Yad pada pankaja palasta vilasya bhaktya. The Bhagavatam 4:22-39. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can obtain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet always within the hearts of the devotees. Bhagavan bhakti riddhi sthitaha. In the case of Agasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Bhaktiaham, bhaktiaham. Ekaya graya. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. Although Agasura's purpose was to kill Krishna, for a moment Agasura thought of Krishna with devotion. And Krishna and his associates wanted to sport within Agasura's mouth. Similarly, Putana wanted to kill Krishna by poisoning him, but Krishna took her as his mother because he had accepted the milk of her breast. Svapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Especially when Krishna appears as an avatar, Anyone who thinks of Krishna and his different incarnations, Ramadi Mortishu, Kala Niyamena Tishtan, and especially in his original form as Krishna, attains salvation. There are many instances of this, and among them is Agasura, who attained the salvation of Swarupya Mukti. Therefore, the process is Satatam Kirtiyandomam Itantas Cha Durda Vritaha, Bhagavad Gita 9:14. Those who are devotees always engage in glorifying Krishna, Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam. When we speak of Krishna, we refer to all his avatars, such as Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Balaram, and Shyamasundara. One who always thinks of Krishna must obtain vimukti, special salvation, as the Lord's personal associate, not necessarily in Vrindavan, but at least in Vaikuntha. This is called Swarupya Mukti. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddha Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatyade Satarna. Bhagavatam has many interesting ways of looking at things. Here it mentions, can we get some water? There's water, but I can't see it.
We're actually waiting for someone to get your other Fiji water.
Generally, we think of those who try to kill Krishna as demons. And in the act of trying to kill Krishna, it doesn't really manifest their devotional nature. Therefore, Kamsa, when Krishna personally came and grabbed him, dragged him across the arena, straddled his chest, and killed him by beating with his fist on his body, Kamsa didn't. It's not said that he attained Swarupya Mukti, because he was a demon. Therefore, it is said that, at least at the beginning, he obtained Sayuja Mukti. Because Kamsa's always thinking of Krishna. Well, in general, though, even besides the fact that Krishna eventually killed him, Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna all the time. So much so that when his two wives, Asti and Prasupti, came to see Kamsa one time, Kamsa took out his sword, because the Kamsa, Prasupti and Asti looked like Krishna and Balaram. He was so much absorbed in Krishna and Balaram that wherever he looked, that's all he saw. But his wives reminded him that we're actually not Krishna and Balaram, we're actually your wives. And therefore he put his sword back and said, I'm sorry. So he was definitely aware, everywhere he was remembering Krishna. But such consciousness of Krishna was not considered to be part of devotional service, because his attitude was negative, was not devotional. So devotional service is defined as anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dit abritam anukulyena krishna nu shilanam bhakti uttama, that anyabhilasita, well, the first part of it actually that's usually explained is anukulyena. Anukulyena means it has to be done in a favorable attitude. Obviously, Kamsa was disqualified because there was nothing favorable about his attitude of wanting to kill Krishna. And anushilanam, what he was doing, was not following any authority. Although it was Krishna anushilanam, the object was Krishna. So the only thing out of the aspects of devotional service that were included is the fact that Krishna was involved, although there was no favorable attitude, nor was he performing any service according to previous authorities. Therefore, his activities were not considered part of devotional service. And Krishna says, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tattvataha, that only by devotional service can one know me as I am, and therefore enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So because there was no devotional service, there was no real awareness of Krishna. Even it is said that eventually Haranyakashipu, or that giant Vijaya took three births, namely as Haranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The next birth is Shishupal and Dantavakra. And then Ravana, that was next, and Kumbhakarna, and then Shishupal and Dantavakra. It is said that Haranyakashipu, when he was being ripped apart by the nails of Lord Nrsingadev, or even Hiranyaksha was being hit over the head with his club by Varahadev, neither one of them recognized Krishna as being God. Therefore, they actually didn't get the benefit of liberation right away, because one has to become conscious of Krishna. There's no easy way out. Even Krishna is right before us, as he is with the deity, but unless we recognize he's the deity, then we don't get the same benefit as someone actually realizes that this is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore develops the proper mood. Demons mean that they don't have the right mood. You can't go to this spiritual world and find people there who have the wrong mood, or actually there to kill Krishna. It would be a little bit out of the natural rasa of the spiritual world. Everyone there is to serve Krishna. Even the so-called demons here, like Kaliya and Keshi demon, they're also in the spiritual world, but they're there with a devotional attitude. Therefore, Kaliya sometimes appears on the Jamuna in the course of the pastimes, and Krishna and the gopis, they ride Kaliya around the Jamuna. Similarly, Keshi demon appears in Vrindavan sometimes, winning, and appears, but actually Krishna simply jumps on his back and rides Keshi around Vrindavan as a pastime. But here, when Kaliya appears, or when Keshi appears, they actually want to kill Krishna. And therefore, their attitude is, at least in the beginning, is non-devotional. In the case of Kaliya, of course, it did turn out to be devotional eventually. But it's doubtful exactly what it's obviously Keshi's mood was not devotional, either in the beginning or in end. Similarly, when Ravana and Kumbhakarna were killed, they didn't have an attitude of devotion either. Therefore, they had to come back as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And when they were killed at that particular time, then we saw as the soul, at least Shishupal, came into the air and then merged into Krishna's body. And then they still came back as the two brothers, Jai and Madai and Jagai, where they got their final liberation and became eligible to join Lord Krishna in Vaikuntha again. Therefore, the pastimes are not always so clear, but what's being emphasized here is Krishna's magnanimity, and therefore one may wonder, how did Agasura, did he go back to the spirit? If he did become a devotee of Krishna and obtain Swarupya Mukti, how is it possible if his attitude was non-devotional? So Prabhupada says here that you can't think of Krishna unless there is some devotion. But we find Kamsa is thinking of Krishna, but we don't consider it to be There may be some element of devotion, but we don't consider devotional service. Devotion means just like a man is devoted to his wife, not necessarily for the right reason. Or a person devoted to the country. It's not devotional service. There is some desire for something in return. But still, there's an aspect of devotion there. So, Shraddha, for instance, is defined as the art of focusing one's attention. Sad means the heart, and Da means to put. So wherever we put the heart, our devotion's going there, our attention's going there. And we're either developing some kind of aspect of devotion, either wherever our attention goes, either there's attachment or aversion. Which is two aspects of the same coin. So wherever our attention goes, there is some aspect of devotion there, either favorable or unfavorable. To think about your enemy all day is a kind of devotion. Just as to think about your friend all day long is also a kind of devotion. So without having some devotion, you can't think of your enemy all the time. You're devoted to your enemy. As a matter of fact, according to the laws of karma, if you die thinking of your enemy, then you become your enemy. Or you become like your enemy. Therefore, in the Middle East wars, when the Jews fight the Muslims, and the Muslims hate the Jews, and the Jews hate the Muslims, often they wind up exchanging places. The Jews in their next lifetime become the Muslims, and the Muslims in the next lifetime become the Jews, and the fight goes on. Through one life after another, they keep the fires going, and the profits going in the armaments industry. So there's an aspect of devotion, but it's not necessarily, devotion is not necessarily in the quality of favorability, but still somehow or another, by Krishna's arrangement, someone like Agasura got Sarupya liberation at some point. In other words, just like if you're an enemy of Krishna and you fight against Krishna, Krishna enters into your mouth, in the case of Agasura, and expands himself, and you begin to suffocate, and then you expand yourself, and he expands himself more, then you've met your match, especially when your eyeballs bulge out and your life air goes out through the top of your head. You get some realization, I'm dealing with a force which is more powerful than me. So there's an aspect of respect, generally speaking. Which is the beginning of appreciation, that this little cowherd boy is pretty big force to deal with. And of course, by coming in contact with Krishna, one becomes purified. So at some point, there is some of the irreverence, some bit of appreciation is generated by being killed by this little boy. And then that may lead later on in some future time to actual devotion and devotional service and eligibility to get Swarupya Mukti. At least in the case of Dhritarashtra, it is said that after following Vidura's instructions, going into the forest and meditating and leaving his body through yogic mystic process, so that his body burned to ashes and the soul left, that he obtained at least liberation. But he wasn't able to obtain anything higher than liberation because of his envious attitude towards the Pandavas, his offensive attitude. But in the future, it said, he could obtain some higher state of being. Therefore, here it is being glorified how Krishna's magnanimity, and anyone who comes in contact with him, even if they're inimical, will become benefited, even to the point of obtaining the Vaikuntha planets. But obviously there is other aspects of our Acharya's teachings which do not encourage us to come to approach Krishna in an inimical way, because even if there is eventually some higher elevation, it may take some time. We don't really know where Kansa is right now. We have some idea where some of the other demons are, but it doesn't really say that Kansa necessarily went back to the spiritual world. Just like Venu. Venu is inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and openly declared that he was God and that he was the source of everything, that he had all the mystic powers, everyone should worship him, even the Brahmins should stop their sacrifices and just focus their attention on him. And of course, the Brahmins became disturbed with him. They cursed him to die. Well, actually, they simply talked very loudly in a pitch. They knew exactly the vibration to kill the person. So they killed him, and the result was that he didn't become purified by being killed by the Brahmins. You'd think that was enough. Now he went to hell. Killing just got rid of his gross body, but the soul went to hell. Only because he had a son like Prithvi Maharaj was he delivered from hell. Therefore, we encourage people to develop the right attitude towards Krishna. Not that we go to everyone. There is one offense, which is to preach the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. Because although anyone who chants the holy name supposedly will be benefited, but there is a possibility of chanting in an offensive way, nama parad, and instead of actually becoming elevated, becoming degraded. Offensive chanting of the holy name. And even it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one is infested with the offenses against the holy name, in spite of chanting for many millions of lifetimes, one will not get the goal of life, which is love of God. And it also says, by chanting offensively, then instead of watering the creeper of devotion, one will actually water the weeds. Therefore, people have to have some eligibility in order to receive the holy name, or at least it should be given by the right source, with the right attitude, with the right understanding. Or if not, then Prabhupada said that milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. So it's given by the wrong people with the wrong attitude, then people become even more inimical towards Krishna. Especially the Mayavadis. I met one lady one time, and I was at the Sunday feast, and she was telling me how much she loved Krishna, and she had a deity of Krishna in her house. And at the end of the conversation, she mentioned that actually, she was Krishna. So she loved worshiping herself, taking care of herself in the form that she had on her altar. But this attitude is obviously Mayavadi philosophy and would not really help one to understand the truth. Therefore, everything about Krishna, and the worst thing, of course, what will kill one's devotion the most is to hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan in the wrong attitude, in the wrong way, because instead of actually, it was probably one time in Los Angeles, there was one club which was later nicknamed the Gopi Baba Club. Gopi Baba Rasamrita Dile Hari. But this Gopi Baba Club was rather comparative to our modern deviations. In this Gopi Baba Club, the devotees, they had heard that if you hear about Krishna's pastimes, with the gopis especially, then you become purified. They decided that they'd get together. They had a man's Gopi Baba Club. It wasn't called Gopi Baba Club. It was just some club. And they had a women's Gopi Club where they get together and they just read from Prabhupada's books about the gopis' pastimes with Krishna. Rather innocent compared. But when Prabhupada heard about that, he became very disturbed and told them that either they stop that or they had to leave. And there were many arguments going on. One of the arguments we presented was that they say that in your books that if you hear about the gopis' pastimes with Krishna, then you'll become purified. If there is any lust remaining in your heart, then you'll become purified. So Prabhupada said, no, if they hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, if you're not eligible, then you'll become putrefied, not purified. That first deserve and then desire. Before you can become a high court judge, first become qualified as a lawyer. In the drug shop, there are many different medicines, but you have to get a prescription from the doctor to figure out which medicine is appropriate for you. Not that you walk into the drug shop and you look at the bottles and the ones that match your dress or your dhoti, then you choose them because somehow or another there is some connection with you or you like the color. So similarly, what part of the philosophy is applicable to different devotees depends upon their eligibility. The Bhagavatam is a desire tree, or the Vedic literature, Nigama Kalpaturo Gale Tam Palam. It's just like a desire tree, and one has to be able to understand which fruit one is eligible to derive, what result one should be looking from the Vedic literature, according to one's eligibility. So therefore one has to consult with authorities to find out which is applicable, which is to one's present situation. Otherwise one may become easily misled and think oneself to be eligible for something that one is not eligible. And instead of developing devotion for Krishna, then one will become even more adverse to Krishna. Vayam dvitiya bina veshitasya ishadapatasya viparyos smriti. Everyone in this world has come here, not consciously perhaps to compete against Krishna, but as Krishna has his Vaikuntha planet, or he has his Goloka Vrindavan planet, he has his Lakshmi, or he has his Shrimati Radharani, he has his associates, he has his abodes, he has his activities. So we've come here to imitate, clearly as a challenge against Krishna's supremacy. That Krishna may have his Lakshmi, but I have my wife. He has his abode, but I have my house. He has his Garuda, and I have my car. And he's happy with what he has, and I'm happy with what I have. He's Krishna there, and I'm Krishna here. So, or on the other side, Radharani has her, you know, pastimes with Krishna, and I have my pastimes. I'm the Radharani here in this house. So this is clearly all imitation and more or less defiance of Krishna. And because of that, one is entangled in all kinds of material conceptions of life. So similarly, if we, the very source of liberation, if we misuse that in order to further our entanglement, then where is there any hope of becoming liberated? If we imagine ourselves, we know about Radha and Krishna, and then we think, yes, I am Radha or I am Krishna, then where is there any question of understanding who actually is Radha and Krishna? Then there is no opportunity for liberation, because the only opportunity we've misused. Therefore, when we come into the temple, we offer obeisances to the deities. Otherwise, one becomes familiar. Similarly with the spiritual master, one is supposed to offer obeisances, or even to the devotees in the morning to offer obeisances. Otherwise, we become familiar, and by that familiarity, we develop disrespect, and that disrespect covers our consciousness, so we can't actually realize who actually is Krishna. It's one thing to disrespect an ordinary person, it's another thing to disrespect Krishna. Krishna, of course, is tolerant, as Prabhupada said. One time they were offering some garlands to Prabhupada, to Krishna, and they were not of very good quality. And Prabhupada mentioned that there is different conceptions of the deity. There is vigraha and galagraha. So galagraha means pain in the neck. So one may think that my spiritual master, he and all these deities, and now he's created this pain in the neck for me because I have to serve them. So instead of giving them nice flowers, let me give them some garbage flowers, because if I give them nice flowers, they smile, and when I give them garbage flowers, they also smile. So Krishna doesn't seem to mind. But Prabhupada said, Krishna may not protest, why are you giving me these useless or these garbage flowers? But his protest will be that you'll go to hell. Similarly, unless we can respect Krishna with the proper, what is actually proper devotion, when we have the opportunity to approach him, either through the holy name or the deity or association with the devotees, or by living in a holy place, visiting a holy place, even the temples, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, unless we can do this with the proper devotion, then the result is that actually can cover us more. Many people chant the holy name, but they're not actually making any progress towards becoming Krishna conscious. It simply serves as an inspiration for more sinful activities. Similarly, people may read the literature and speculate. There are many Bhagavad Gitas. People may even write their own Bhagavad Gita in commentary, which simply serves to mislead people from the actual path of devotional service. So one has to be careful to choose the right association and develop the right attitude so that one will make progress rather than actually becoming covered over by one's activities in so-called devotional service. Although Agasura obviously is quite special, but I don't think we're going to necessarily want to take that chance that Krishna is going to enter into our mouth and personally purify us. Otherwise, he's a very special personality. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
There was some, I'm not sure where I found it. There's some writing somewhere, and forgive my memory, that each demon that Krishna killed in Vrindavan actually represents a corresponding material desire. Do you have any experience of that in Srila Prabhupada's teachings?
That's in Bhaktivinoda Thakura's teachings. Bhakti Chaitanya, that's in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Anyhow, it's nice to be killed by Krishna if you're an Artha. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.